Good morning, church.
Good morning,
church.
Good morning.
The Lord is good
all the time.
On behalf of all the beautiful people of the Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, and on behalf of myself, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning. Special welcome to those who are doing so for the first time or after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters and friends who are worshiping with us via Zoom, and those who will be listening to our church service on our church's website. The intimations are as printed out in the order of service in your hands. And just to note that next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, we shall be having a joint cluster service at Wormy Church beginning at 11 a.m., which is our normal church service time here in Newport. We wanted to do a compromise, but it seems as if Newport was a bit concerned about how this will go down with us. So they've accepted our time, 11 a.m. Remember also that the clocks will change. They will go forward that morning. So it's easy to miss out on the service if you don't change your clock. You can follow the other announcements or intimations on the service sheet. After the service, we will meet again at our church hall for teas and coffee. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn 147, all creatures of our God and King. Let us pray. Lord, our God, we come before you as we are, sometimes weary, sometimes impatient, sometimes losing sight of your goodness. In the wilderness of our own lives, we have not always trusted you, yet you remain faithful. Draw near to us now, lift our eyes from our struggles and turn our hearts toward your mercy. Meet us here, O Lord, and prepare us to receive your grace. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Like your people of old, we have spoken against you. We have complained instead of trusting. We have turned away from your care. Forgive us, we pray. Heal us from the poison of sin and turn our eyes again to you that we may find life and peace. In your mercy, hear us as we pray together the words our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is Bless the Lord, O My Soul. The words are printed on the order of service. Good morning, children.
Good morning.
How are you all today? Doing good? Okay. Anna has got chicken pox, so she's not well. So she's not here. And the rest are staying home with her. Are you enjoying this weather? It's really nice, isn't it? This is the kind of weather I'm used to in Cameroon, not the other one. So this morning, we begin our children's address again with a few questions. Can you remember, have you ever been scared about something? Really, really scared? Can you remember anything you've really been scared of? Monsters. Watching them on TV, movies, yes, Jacob? A dog. Yeah. I'm scared of dogs too, I must say. The dark, not dogs. Okay. We from Africa, we tend to be scared of dogs because dogs bite a lot in Africa. What about spiders? You've been scared of spiders? Yeah. What about snakes? You don't see snakes here. But you would be scared of snakes, wouldn't you?
Yeah. If you went to Australia,
okay. Yeah. I hear there are many snakes there.
I went to Australia when she was a baby, and there was loads of snakes.
Okay. So I'm scared of snakes too. Have you ever been bitten by anything dangerous?
No.
Now I tell you what, when I was younger, and that would be around 1995, the night before I would write my GCE, what do you call GCSE or whatever here in Scotland. So GCE, I was bitten by a snake. And the lights had gone off, as they would often do in most African countries. And it was dark, so I went out to get something, and I was bitten by a snake. I was really scared, because in Africa, most snakes are poisonous. And so when you are bitten by a snake, you can easily die from that. But we had a neighbor who had a stone that is referred to as a black stone. So they placed it on the spot where I was bitten, and it drew out the poison. But I had to write my exams the next day, and of course I did. Now, there is a story in the Bible about snakes in the book of Numbers. When the Israelites were going through the wilderness to the promised land, they started complaining because they were impatient. They thought that they should have remained in Egypt. They were suffering in Egypt, but they should have remained there rather than come into the wilderness and suffer. And so they started complaining against God, and poisonous snakes came out. But God is very good, and God is faithful. So God asked Moses to make a snake from bronze, a bronze snake, and put it on a pole. And anyone who was affected by those poisonous snakes was asked to look at that snake, the bronze snake, and then they will be fine again. And again I said, it's because God is kind. Many times in our lives we do things that are not good, and God is not happy with that. But he does not leave us. He still loves us because we are his children. Now, this is a particular season in the church. Can anyone remember this season? This season is a special season, yes? Easter. Easter is coming. So that's a good answer. But we are not yet there. We are coming to Easter. But this time, we have a way of referring to the time that is leading up to Easter. It's called Lent. Or say Lent. Lent. So this is the season of Lent. And during the season of Lent, Jesus Christ is actually preparing
to go to the cross. Now, in those days, in the story in Numbers, they looked at a bronze snake and people were healed. But now we look to Jesus Christ. So whenever we do something which is not good, we want to confess our sins, we have to go back to Jesus. We have to look to Jesus because he's the one who saves us. And the story about Lent is that Jesus will be crucified on Good Friday, and Easter is the day he will come back to life, which is Resurrection Sunday. And resurrection is also about new life. So, because we are human beings and because we can always do things that are not nice, even though we should avoid them, whenever we do things that are not good, we can go back to God and say we are sorry. And God will accept our apologies and will continue to be good to all of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for this day, and we thank you for the brightness of a new day and for your love that encompasses all. We pray now, O Father, for your blessings upon our children. We thank you for the time that we have with them in children's addresses and for all that they learn in church. Father, we pray that you continue to open their minds. Give them that spirit of commitment. May they love you, and may they continue to grow in their faith. We pray all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is, Lord, I lift your name on high.
I'm so glad you're in my life. Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Numbers chapter 21, reading from verses 4 to 9, and this can be found on page 158 of the Pew Bible or followed on the overhead behind me. Numbers 21 at verse 4, the bronze snake. They travelled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go round Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. And our New Testament reading is from the book of John, John chapter 12, reading from verses 27 to 36. And this can be found on page 1080 of the Pew Bible. John chapter 12 at verse 27. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Amen. And may God add his blessings from these readings of his holy word. Let us now continue by singing hymn 380, "There Is a Green Hill Far Away."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Living God, as your word is read and proclaimed, shine your light upon us. Open our minds to understand, our hearts to receive, and our lives to respond. Lift our eyes to Christ, that in seeing him we may find life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I want to reflect with you on the theme Lifted Up for Life, Beholding Christ in a Dark World. Lifted up for life, beholding Christ in a dark world. There is a story told from Scotland's past of men who knew the cost of what they were about to do. In 1638, in Greyfriars Kirkyard in Edinburgh, ordinary people gathered, farmers, tradesmen, and ministers. They came to sign what became known as the National Covenant. They knew full well what it might cost them, their homes, their freedom, and even their lives. And yet, one by one, they stepped forward. Some signed their names. Others, it said, signed in their own blood. They were not caught up in a moment of excitement. They were making a deliberate choice because they believed some things were worth the cost. And that question, what is worth the cost, lies close to the heart of our faith. And that is where John 12 brings us. Jesus has entered Jerusalem at Passover. The city is alive with expectation. Pilgrims have gathered from all over, even Greeks, outsiders, seekers, drawn by whispers of this man who might be the Messiah. And into that charged moment, Jesus says something astonishing. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. But this hour is not what anyone expected. It is not a throne. It is a cross. Almost immediately, the tone shifts. Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled." This is no passing anxiety. The word John uses, tarasso, speaks of deep agitation, even horror. Jesus Christ stands on the brink of the cross, fully aware of what lies ahead, suffering, rejection, and the bearing of sin. Here, friends, we see something essential to our faith. Jesus Christ is not distant from human pain. He enters it fully. He knows dread. He knows the weight of what is coming. Like in Gethsemane, we hear the echo of that honest prayer, "Father, remove this cup from me." And yet, in the same breath, something remarkable happens. He says, "But for this purpose I have come, Father, glorify your name." This is not resignation, it is willing obedience. Here is the mystery at the heart of the gospel. The fully human Christ trembling before suffering, and the fully obedient Son embracing the Father's will. As the Church has long confessed, he is truly God and truly man, and here those truths meet at the edge of the cross. Then heaven itself breaks in. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The Father speaks, not to remove the cross, but to affirm it. Because what looks like defeat will be glory. What looks like weakness will be power. And Jesus goes on, "Now is the judgment of this world, and I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself."
To be lifted up is, of course, to be lifted onto the cross. And yet, John deliberately uses language that also suggests exaltation. The cross is both suffering and glory. It is both shame and triumph. And here the gospel widens, not just for Israel, but for all people, every nation, every background, and every life. This matters profoundly in our world today. Friends, we live in a time marked by deep darkness. War continues to devastate parts of the Middle East, shaped by long histories and global powers, including interventions led by nations like the United States of America. The consequences are human. Families displaced, lives lost, and trust broken. And nearer to home, there are quieter struggles, grief that lingers, illness that weakens, and loneliness that isolates. Into all of this, the cross speaks, not as a political answer, not as a quick fix, but as God's decisive act within suffering. As N.T. Wright writes, the cross is where the living God took the weight of the world's evil upon himself. This is the power of Christ, not the might of force, but the might of sacrificial love, a love that enters darkness and begins to overcome it. But the crowd struggles. They know their scriptures. They expect a Messiah who reigns forever. So they ask almost skeptically, how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? To them, it doesn't add up. How can the eternal King also suffer and die? And if we are honest, their questions are not so different from ours. If Christ is King, why is the world still broken? If God is good, why does suffering remain? If the cross is victory, why does darkness still feel so strong? Jesus does not offer a detailed explanation. Instead, he gives an invitation. Walk while you have the light. Believe in the light. In other words, do not wait until everything makes sense. Step into the light you have been given. To follow Jesus is not to have every answer. It is to trust the one who is the answer. And this is where Scripture draws a deeper thread back to the wilderness in Numbers 21. The people of Israel are suffering, beaten by serpents and facing death. And God instructs Moses to lift up a bronze serpent on a pole. And then comes the promise. Everyone who is beaten when he sees it shall live. It is a strange image, but a powerful one. They are not asked to fix themselves, not asked to reason their way out, simply to look and live. Look and live. And Jesus in John's gospel makes the connection explicit. Just as the serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here is the heart of the gospel. In a world poisoned by sin and suffering, God has lifted up his Son. And the invitation is the same. Look to him and live. Look to him in your doubt. Look to him in your grief. Look to him in the darkness of the world, because the cross, which once looked like the greatest cost, has become the greatest gift. So lift high the name of Jesus. Walk in his light. And where the shadows feel long and heavy, remember, the one who was lifted up is the one who draws us to life. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word to us today. When we are troubled, help us to trust you. When we walk in darkness, lead us into light. Keep our eyes fixed on Christ, the one lifted up for our salvation, and guide us to follow him in the faith and in love. Send us out to live what we have heard for your glory and the good of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Praise the one who breaks the darkness. Hymn number 348. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious and loving God, we bring before you these gifts offered from what you have first given us. Take them, we pray, and use them for your glory, that your light may shine in dark places, that hope may rise where it has grown dim, and that your love may be known in this world you cherish. As your Son was lifted up, drawing all people to himself, so lift our hearts beyond ourselves and use our lives as signs of your grace.
Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray. Let us pray for the church here and throughout the world. Dear Father, strengthen your people to walk in the light, to trust you even when the way is unclear, and to bear faithful witness to Christ crucified and risen. We pray especially for our congregation here at Newport-on-Tay. Bless its life, its worship, and its service. Make it a place of welcome, compassion, and truth. May its witness in the community reflect your love, drawing others to see and to live. We pray for the world in its pain and division. We remember the ongoing war in Ukraine and the violence and suffering in the Middle East. Where there is conflict, bring restraint. Where there is hatred, bring understanding. Where there is despair, bring hope. Guide leaders in wisdom and humility. Protect the vulnerable, comfort the grieving, and work through all who seek peace and justice. Bring healing, peace, and real progress, we pray. We pray for those who suffer in quieter ways, those carrying grief, illness, anxiety, or loneliness, those facing burdens known only to you, those who feel overwhelmed by the darkness. Lift their eyes, O Lord, that they may look to Christ and find life. Surround them with your presence and strengthen them with your peace. And we bring before you ourselves, our struggles, our doubts, and our failings. When we are troubled, remind us of Christ who was troubled for us. When we are afraid, remind us of his obedience and love. Help us to walk in the light while we have the light, trusting you day by day. Take our lives as you take these offerings and use everything for your own purposes. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who was lifted up that we might live. Amen. Our final hymn is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, number 445.
Thank you. go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.